From Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, in the spacious studios of iHeart at 1510 WLAC comes the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Why do we need to do this? Because 65 million Americans out there are doing this. They're putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse, disaster. How do you help those who help those? What does it look like to help the person pushing the wheelchair, standing in the hospital room corner, having those late night conversations with the ceiling fan? That's what this show is about, and we're glad you're here. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. And when you call, you will hear the dulcet tones, the velvety voice of himself, the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of Sound, the Earl of Engineering, the man who just got in touch with his ancestral roots and changed his name to Dances with Caregivers, the Count of Mighty Disco, John Butler, everyone.
What are you doing to me, man?
It's a new title.
I love it. I got a raise.
Yes. Do I have to fill out a 1099 for that or something?
Yeah. Look, my taxes were just a mess last year because of you. Thanks, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. Hey, listen, are you on your best behavior today?
Yes.
That's a good answer. We, you know, normally our guests call in.
Okay.
Not today. She came in.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you need to, you know, act accordingly.
Okay.
And so do I. And this is Kim Campbell, who is the wife of just iconic Glenn Campbell.
And we've been dealing with some, you had an event with her recently, didn't you?
I did indeed. I got to spend a little time with her at the Morning Point event out at Brentwood Baptist and here in Nashville. And, you know, Kim is a dancer. She's an author. She's a speaker. She is a caregiver.
Why is she slumming with us?
It's a missions outreach on her part, I think. Bless her heart. God love her. She's in the studio with us right now. And we're gonna just bypass all of our normal
shenanigans.
Normal is such a vague word for us, but we're going to bypass that and get right to it. So, Kim, we are thrilled that you are here with us. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
All right, look, we're going to set the frame for you and Glenn, just the background story. Everybody knows who Glenn is, but they don't necessarily know all that's been going on with you guys. So set the frame for them, and then we're going to dig deep into your story, your passion, your mission, and your voice of what's going on. We've all known Glenn's voice for all these years, and now we're hearing your voice in a profound way, and we want to hear it. So tell us a little bit about what happened with Glenn, when did it happen, and then let's go from there.
Well, in 2009, Glenn was diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, and the doctors told me that sometimes that turns into Alzheimer's, sometimes it doesn't, just to bring him back every year, and we would see how, you know, if he was progressing or not. And so we did, and in 2011, we got the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. So that's when I knew that I was taking on a role that I knew nothing about.
Well, you know, we've said a lot of times on this show that we're always one phone call away from our life taking a much different turn. What was that day like? Okay, you knew he had mild cognitive impairment. Okay, we got that. Now the official word came in. Talk about that, how you felt about that.
Well, it was absolutely terrifying. I didn't really know much about Alzheimer's. So I had, you know, a million questions. And my first question was, is it fatal? And the doctor said, yes, it is fatal. And then the next question, of course, is, well, then how long do we have? And he said, normally it's 2 to 8 years from diagnosis. I've since come to meet many people who have been doing this much longer than 2 to 8 years. I have a friend who's been caring for her husband for 25 years with Alzheimer's. So really, it's hard to say, you know, how long a journey this is. But they don't call it the long goodbye for nothing.
No matter how you slice it, it's long. And even if it's shorter than you expect, the days are still long and the nights are even longer. Mm-hmm. And so you got this call. Your fear is a common theme that we all have when we're put in these situations and everything just ramps up. Did you feel like everything else slowed down but your mind was just zinging at that point? Or how to take us a little bit more into that about, because that is a horrific thing to hear.
Well, I was mostly concerned with Glenn when we got the diagnosis. I didn't know how it was going to impact him to hear those words. So I wanted to protect him and try not to make a big deal out of it, try not to look upset in front of him. So I just kept my composure and took him out for dinner after our doctor's appointment, and then started on our long drive back home, because it takes you about an hour to get home from Hollywood to Malibu. So he seemed fine. He didn't really have a lot of questions, and I didn't really know for sure if he understood or heard the doctor clearly.
And grasped the weight
right?
of what was just
so
said.
So I just let a couple days go by to give me the time to get on the internet, you know, went to the Alzheimer's Association's website and read everything I could. And I wanted to tell the children and just get everybody on the same page. And the doctor had also said that in the state of California, when someone gets a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, the doctor is required by law to notify the DMV and that they would take away his driver's license. So sure enough, it was only a few days after our doctor visit that the note came in the mail that his driver's license had been revoked. So that's a pretty big event for someone.
How did he take that?
I was so thankful because his driving was really scaring me. You know, he was getting lost on his way home from, you know, playing golf or something like that. And he didn't really think that the speed laws applied to him.
Well, that's pretty normal here in Nashville.
I mean, I know he's a celebrity and everything, and he thinks he has his own set of rules, but no, I'm just kidding. He, his driving was, you know, starting to be a concern. So I was very thankful that they did that. Not all states do that. And it took the burden off of my shoulders. You know, I didn't want to have to be the bad guy and say you can't drive anymore. It was just a couple days since we had gotten the diagnosis. And so that gave me the opportunity to really sit down and make sure he fully understood what was happening with the Alzheimer's. I had had a couple days to study, and he did. He grasped it. He understood that he had Alzheimer's, that he was losing his memory. He said, but I feel fine. And I said, well, good, honey, that's all that matters. As long as you feel fine, you know, we'll go through this together.
Well, now, did he try to drive after that at times?
No.
So nope. We've done a couple whole shows on this. There's a Ohio State Trooper that started a company that helps transition folks with impairments and age-related issues and so forth from the driver's seat to the passenger seat. And it's basically you're putting your family's needs ahead of your own. And he celebrates that. You're making the right decision because it's such a painful thing. And I'm glad you didn't have to do that. I wonder why we don't have that in Tennessee, that when you get the diagnosis immediately, your license.
I think it's a good thing. It, you know, like I said, it took the onus off of me to have to be the bad guy to do that.
Well, and that's important because we caregivers take the brunt of that. We're the ones becoming the bad cop here, and it's not us. It's we're doing it the right reasons and the right thing. So that is a big issue. I don't think a lot of people realize just how big an issue it is for the driver component of this thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because if he gets lost.
And caring for someone with Alzheimer's is very different from caring for someone who has, you know, their mental capabilities. I really thought that Glenn would be angry and upset, and I was stressing out over telling him that they took away your driver's license, and he just accepted it, you know? So a lot of times I think that I overthink things and I just burden myself with worry. And he didn't. He wasn't worried about any of it. Just very accepting of, and he called his friend and said, you know, hey, they took my driver's license away because I have Alzheimer's. Can you drive me to golf from now on? And we were so blessed to have a good friend that did just that, you know, picked him up 6 days a week to go and play golf. And that gave me the break I needed as a caregiver to do things for myself. You know, if I wanted to go to my dance classes, the grocery store, a doctor appointment, get my hair done, whatever I wanted to do, have lunch with a friend. It was really essential to my survival and keeping my sanity and my spirits lifted to have that me time.
You mentioned something I want to go back to, that you started getting on the internet and just looking at everything. He didn't, but you did.
Right.
And we caregivers tend to do that. We immerse ourselves into learning everything that's happening to our loved one. I mean, I'm with all the medical stuff that Gracie's gone through, I've just thrown myself into understanding this. And I think that caregivers, I want to just get your read on this. By the way, there's no coordination between Kim and I. I mean, because we have a disclaimer on this show that we're never coordinated. Isn't that right, John?
Hey, don't go off script.
I like to just, we just have an organic conversation here. But I have said often that we caregivers have what I call caregiver authority, but we're reticent to use it. And we get intimidated because we don't necessarily understand the science and we're dealing with a lot of doctors and so forth. But in reality, you have a PhD in Glenn. I have a PhD in Gracie. I know Gracie. And I may not be able to put the science to all that's going on, but I can raise my hand and say something is not right. Mm-hmm. And I will educate myself. And just because somebody has more training than I am doesn't necessarily mean they have more smarts than I do or understanding that there's something wrong and that I can, even if I have to put it in layman's terms. Talk about your caregiver authority, because you started recognizing things along the way, and then you started educating yourself. Did you feel comfortable and competent talking to all these physicians and so forth on the professional level, or was there still that intimidation factor?
I didn't feel intimidated. I think there were certain things that I did not want to know. We were making the once he got the diagnosis, we decided to allow James Keach and Trevor Albert to document his journey with Alzheimer's and his goodbye tour. And I knew, basically what we were dealing with the early and the middle stages, but I deliberately did not educate myself about the final stages because I thought,
Well, you're not there yet.
It's enough for me to just deal with today. I think it's good to have a hint, an inkling of what you're going to face in the future so that you can prepare yourself. But I didn't want to dwell on that or I was really scared to death, actually.
Well, and
find out about the final stages. Now I'm there. I'm in the late stages. And
how is it?
It's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. But you just have to accept this is the way things are. There's nothing I can do to change it. So I just make the best of each day and try to find joy in each day. And I do. There's always joy there if you look for it.
Well, one of the things we say on this show is that you're as happy or as miserable as you choose to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's heartbreak. We have to look at very difficult things. I did, even coming over here to the studio before I came here, just dealing with something that is just really heartbreaking. But we don't have to be miserable in it. And yeah, even though there are tears flowing down our face, we can still find beauty and excitement and so forth all around us. We're going to talk about that a little bit more with you because that's what you do, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, we got to take a quick break. We're talking with Kim Campbell, and we are talking about her journey taking care of her husband, Glenn, through Alzheimer's, and she's still doing it. She's been a caregiver now for some years. She's using her story, her understanding, the things she's learned, some of it the hard way, to really go out there and strengthen her fellow caregivers, which is what this show is all about. We're glad you're with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you care for someone who's not. And that's, of course, the great Glenn Campbell, gentle on my mind. And we are here with his wife, Kim, who is journeying with Glenn through Alzheimer's. And now they're in the final stages of this thing, and it's very difficult. And she's opened up her heart and sharing with us. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. When you hear that, and you've heard that song a bazillion times. You guys did the tour for the I'll Be Me documentary, and which is fabulous. If you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor and see this thing. But you never get tired of hearing that. And when you hear it, how do you feel?
Anytime I hear any of Glenn's music, it's heartwarming. You know, he's such a great musician, singer, entertainer, and I've always been so proud of him. And I'm even more proud of him now because he's just done so much to help other people by going public with his diagnosis and helping remove the stigma of having a disease like Alzheimer's.
Touring, you did over 100 dates with him having Alzheimer's.
Right, 151.
That is 151 dates is hard on anybody.
Yeah.
But then I watched the family up there around him, not only the incredible musicians, but there's a compassion level they all have. They're watching Glenn like a hawk to see, you know, if it's going to go off the rails or so forth. And, you know, and they were covering him. I mean, if he went somewhere, they stood right with him. And it was just a beautiful family thing to watch. And there were times when it was like everybody's just kind of like having those white knuckle moments. Okay, where's this going to go? And that's scary enough in any kind of band situation. But then when you got the lead doing that, and then the audience was so gracious, it was so amazing. And so you were out there watching all this. What was going on in your heart as you watched this?
It was just such a blessing. I think that, you know, I was really afraid that no one would want to see someone with Alzheimer's perform, but people just came out in droves to root for him and cheer him on. And I think that's part of the thing about being open and honest about what you're going through. It invites people in and makes them feel comfortable to ask questions and to offer to help.
It wasn't a performance at that point. It was a family event.
Yeah, including the audience. There were times when a teleprompter would go out and Glenn, you know, couldn't remember any of the lyrics, that the audience would sing the lyrics for him.
That had to be an incredibly moving moment.
It was. It really was.
And as you watch your kids, watching the kids do all this stuff, talk about that a little bit. Just the joy of watching this next generation deal with this.
Yeah, the kids have been great, very supportive. And, you know, when we were touring, Glenn would look over his shoulder and see his kids backing him up. And that just brought him so much joy.
Backing him up in every sense of the
word. Yeah, in every sense of the way. Even, you know, Ashley and Shannon were wireless so that if he got too close to the edge of the stage, they could walk up to him and kind of nudge him back.
You know, and I get that. I've watched that with Gracie when she sings, and of course she's a double amputee, and there's always that thing, is she going to trip? Is she going to fall? Mm-hmm. And I've walked her out on stage many times, and she's watching the wires and, you know, that kind of stuff. And if I can get her to a place where she's safe and uh-huh. I know she's contained, and I'm at the piano, so I'd have to like kick it over like
Jerry Lewis is the word you're looking
yeah.
for there, bud.
And rush out there and grab her. I didn't have those moments. But it's hard to concentrate on your instrument while you're watching that. And I watched the kids, and they were just flawless with
yeah,
this thing.
Yeah, they were good caregivers on the stage. They were good caregivers off the stage. And after we quit touring, Ashley and Shannon moved back in with me to help me care for Glenn. Not only to care for Glenn, but to care for me, because they knew that I was really stressed out and I wasn't getting enough sleep and I was super depressed. And they've stayed with me. You know, even today, I still have him there with me, helping me through this. But since our family joined a memory support community, I've met a lot of other women who have husbands with Alzheimer's, and I became a part of a support group. And I never realized the importance of connecting with other caregivers who understand exactly what I'm going through until I joined that support group. And one of the main complaints that all of us women caregivers had was, and I'm sure men would have the same complaint, is how do we overcome this intense depression of losing our loved one to this disease? You know, you just lose them little by little, day by day. And it seemed like no matter what we do, you know, if you try to take a 2-day vacation to go somewhere to get away from it all, you just carry that depression with you. And so I finally, you know, decided I've got to do something about this. I've got to find a way to help people and help myself. So I started this blog and lifestyle guide called careliving.org, where it's only positive, only inspirational articles, resources, and information too, but primarily just to encourage caregivers, you know, much like what you're doing with your radio show. We get it. It's hard. But how do we go forward from here, and how do we start each day with a positive outlook? So every day when I wake up, you know, you should open your eyes and go, wow, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, I'm so excited. But instead, you open your eyes and you just go, wow, not another day. This is so sad. How do I do? So, you know, what you said, it's a choice. You have to make a choice that, you know, I always say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so I get up and I start counting my blessings. I have so much to be thankful for. I've had a great life with my husband, and I can still hug him and kiss him. And I'm blessed in so many ways. And then I ask God, help me to be a blessing. And when you try to be a blessing to others, then, you know, it always comes back to you.
I find that absolutely 100% on the mark. I get stronger every time I do this. Every time I say anything that is reinforcing what I know to be true, what I've learned the hard way. I mean, I am the crash test dummy of caregivers, and yet I get stronger out of it. Every show I do here, every time I interview a guest, it's just it. I'd like to think I'm being altruistic, but I'm not. It's all self-serving. It's how do I get stronger in this thing? Hey, we're talking with Kim Campbell, wife of iconic star Glenn Campbell, and her journey through Alzheimer's with him. And we're glad you're with us at 1510 WLAC. We will be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver, and now you know why. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years, not 1 year, not 2 year, not one decade, not two decades, but three decades of extreme failure to help you stay strong. You can fail on my dime. You don't have to fail on yours. And I'm glad you're with us. You want to be on the show. 800-688-9522. We're with Kim Campbell, and she is talking about her journey with Glenn Campbell through Alzheimer's. And I love that song. If you see them standing on the road, hey, you're going the wrong way. This show is not about there. It's about don't go down there. That's a bad place. And I know a cul-de-sac when I see it. Listen, you touched on this a little bit. I want to go there, and then I want you to just keep going as deep as you want to go. One of the issues that we caregivers deal with, well, we have three I's that I call them. We lose our independence, we become isolated, we lose our identity. You're married to a superstar. So it's hard enough to carve out your own identity when you got somebody with that big of a name. Then you go into this, and everybody asks, how's Glenn? How's Glenn? And it's very difficult to speak, hey, you know what? I'm hurting too. I can't count how many people have asked me how Gracie's doing. But I can count the ones who ask how I'm doing. And that loss of identity where caregivers struggle to speak in their own voice, to say, I hurt, I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm just resentful, or I'm brokenhearted, I'm depressed. Talk about gaining your voice now. I mean, you got an iconic voice, and now it's time for Kim's voice to step up. Talk a little bit about that and where you've gone with it, with your blog and everything else.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. In fact, you know, our film is called Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me. And when he got Alzheimer's, he surrounded himself with a team of family, friends, a support group that would support his strengths and allow him to continue being himself as long as he could. But for me, I started losing my own identity. I had to give up, you know, a lot of things that I was doing and interested in because I was now watching him 24/7. A lot of caregivers have to give up their jobs, you know, or going to school or whatever it is, you know, that they do, their hobbies, because it's just a full-time job. So that's one of the things I learned, you know. I never asked I never asked or received help from anyone. I was always very self-sufficient. And when you become a caregiver, you realize you can't do it by yourself. You've got to have help if you're going to continue having any quality of life for yourself. So that's part of what my blog is about, is to encourage caregivers to continue being who they are and to take care of themselves, not to be isolated. And
did you feel, not nervous, but did you feel apprehensive, I guess, when you started asserting your own voice into this thing? I mean, Glenn's voice was huge. It overshadowed everything. Then Alzheimer's overshadows. And you're a soft-spoken, quiet person, gentle. And all of a sudden, you've got to go out there and be large and in charge now. Was that an uncomfortable place for you?
It was very uncomfortable and scary. I've never been a public speaker, and now I'm out there sharing my story with thousands of people. But it's something I'm passionate about, and I think it honors Glenn. You know, I want to carry his story forward, his quest to raise awareness and to raise funds for research. So we do that. I do go to a lot of Alzheimer's fundraisers. But I'm really passionate about helping caregivers because I know how hard it is, and I know what they're going through. And one of the things that helps caregivers is to know that they're not alone. I also have a lot of articles about faith on my blog because my faith is very important to me. Without it, I don't think I would have survived the depression. I don't think I could have climbed out of it. But, it's what gives me hope that tomorrow is going to be better and that we can make the best out of each day. And a lot of the stories on my blog also teach people how to look at your situation from a different perspective. You know, you can see the glass half full or half empty, right? So what's the other saying? Life is made up of about 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it.
Well, I think respond is the key word. We caregivers tend to react. And what I'm on a mission to do is help fellow caregivers learn to and myself learn to respond, not react. It's too easy to react. And this is what I do. You dance and you're in the gym all the time. I do martial arts. And part of what we do in martial arts is learn to respond to the situation calmly, but with great precision and knowing we're not going to just fly off the handle and react. Now, I don't get that right hardly at all. I really am the crash test dummy of caregivers. But if you put the bat on the ball in baseball 3 out of 10 times, they'll put you in the Hall of Fame. So what I tell fellow caregivers is progress, not perfection. You're not going to get it right. But when these moments come, when it comes in you at like waves and you react to it, if you can have some kind of tool that says, okay, I can respond to this. I can breathe a little slower, take a deep breath, slowly exhale, and then let me respond to this. Because they're not doing it to you. They're just doing it. And you don't have to take everything so personal. And it's hard to do that in a situation when you're dealing with somebody with an impairment like this.
Right, right.
And in fact, I was speaking to a group of nurses in Anchorage this weekend, and I asked for a show of hands. I said, how many of you all have ever had a patient grab you? 100%. 100% did. How many of you all had a patient choke you? Almost 100%. And so I spent some time showing some moves to get out of those situations. Have you been in a situation
where... Where have you been? Where were you when I needed you?
Well, I'm right here on the radio. But it was totally off the message of what I was... I mean, I wasn't planning on doing that. It wasn't off message, but I wasn't planning. But I realized there's a real need here. So I spent some time, and I had a little old lady nurse, tiny bitty lady, came up, and I showed her, and I grabbed her as hard as I could, and she got out of it easily. And I showed her how to do it, and because this is what happens. But you can't take that personally. The patient's impaired.
Right.
And yet you're having to assert yourself in a way that protects you, doesn't hurt them, and stays on message for what you are as a caregiver. And these are hard things, and we just lose our minds sometimes. It just comes at us in waves. It's not fair.
Yeah, a lot of times people think that Alzheimer's is just about losing your memory, but they can become suspicious and paranoid and very combative. And so I have experienced that, and it can be dangerous for someone. You know, I'm 5'4", and my husband's 6 feet tall and big and strong, and trying to change their clothes or bathe them. And if they get combative, it can really be a problem.
I get that. And so I'm a big guy and I can handle myself, but most of the caregivers are smaller women taking care of their impaired husbands or their children with autism. And that's, we did a whole show on autism, for example, of what happens because they become very disoriented. And I
took care of my mom at home for 10 years. She had a degenerating cerebellum, so she lost control of all of her voluntary motor skills. And she, you know, eventually she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair, and we'd have to transfer her. And, you know, it's, you can pull your back out trying to lift someone who's heavy because my mom gained a lot of weight, you know, through her illness. But she had her mind, and now I have the exact opposite. I have a really strong, healthy man who, you know, no longer has the ability to think or reason. So I've been a caregiver a long time, and I really find strength by being connected to other caregivers.
Go back to your blog. People want to know where it is. How do they find it? And Facebook and Twitter, all the things. That, if they want to get connected with you and what you're on a mission to do, where do they go?
Well, we're on Facebook, CareLiving.org, Twitter, Instagram, and our blog is CareLiving.org.
CareLiving. CareLiving.
CareLiving.org. You have to keep living while you're caregiving.
You do. And, you know, they may not make it, but we have to. And those are hard things to say, but it's the reality. One of the missions I'm on with a caregiver, and I want to see how you respond to this, with all my fellow caregivers and with myself, is that one day we stand at a grave. Number one, that it's us standing at it, not the other way around, because I don't want to leave my wife with, I don't want to leave my children with this. And I can't control that, but I can live in a way that reflects that desire. But that we stand there without clenched fist, resentful at our loved ones, at family and friends who didn't help the way we wanted them to, at ourselves, or at God. And that is so important to me, to make sure that I'm, because I can't push a wheelchair with clenched fist. I've tried it. I can't play a piano with clenched fist. I've tried it. I can't change a dressing with clenched fist. I've tried it. And so we can learn to be more peaceful in this thing. You're making peace with this every time you speak to someone, every time you write something on your blog, you're making peace with this and not holding on so tight so that it's killing you. And that's an amazing thing to see. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, stress and bitterness will shorten your life. It can make you sick, and it robs you of today. You know, I think that all of us deserve to have joy and happiness in our lives, and you can't become the second victim of the disease that you're dealing with.
And it is a family disease.
Yes.
Very much. I mean, it is not isolated to one individual. And you've seen that firsthand.
It's a disease that also brings a lot of fear because, you know, every time I forget something, I'm like, oh, no, God forbid, you know. But children especially are worried that they're going to get a gene passed down, or the financial stress is really a big burden because it's such a long, long illness, much like what you're dealing with. It's just there's no level that it doesn't.
No, and the valley of the shadow of death extends beyond the horizon. There's not a termination date that you see anytime soon. It is what it is. And if you live so far out in this thing, it's going to cripple you. And you've just got to slow down and deal with today, right now. And that sounds so trite. I don't mean it that way. But I remember one time when a doc came in with Grace and said that she's got to stay here for 3 months in the hospital. She can't raise up more than 15 degrees, and we're going to go in every 3 days and open up her back and irrigate this infection out. And I just sunk. I mean, I'd been into this 16 years by that point, and I said, I can't do this for 3 months. And I had kids at home working and everything else, and the doc put his hand on my shoulder and said, you're not going to do it for 3 months. You're going to do it for 24 hours. Tomorrow is sufficient for itself. We're going to just deal with today. That's a hard way to live. Give us this day our daily bread. Preach is really great till you have to live it. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, you just have to take one day at a time.
1 hour at a time sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, when you do watch Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me, you'll see laughter and love and joy. And I think, you know, what the Bible says about don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I think you just have to live by that. You know, each day is a gift, so be thankful for all the good things that God gives you.
It's not easy, but it's the way you do it is what we're doing right here. Two caregivers sitting down, pausing on the field of battle for a few moments and strengthening each other. This is Kim Campbell with us. I am Peter Rosenberger. Glad you're with us. We'll be right back. Don't go away. We got more to go. Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, reaching out to the family caregiver to strengthen those who are pushing the wheelchair, standing in the hospital room corner, staring at the ceiling fan for hours and hours and hours every night, wondering, dear God, what's going to happen to me? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to work through this together. We're going to band together. We're going to come as a family of caregivers and strengthen each other. I'm strengthening you. You're strengthening me. And in the studio here with us is Kim Campbell, who's bringing such an encouraging message of her own journey in caring for her husband, Glenn, through the brutality of Alzheimer's. And we're glad you're with us. Hey, listen, before we get back to Kim, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on. John, did you know that I am putting together a bunch of feet right now?
Of course you are.
Well, I am. Let me tell you what we do. At Standing With Hope, which is a presenting sponsor of this show, we collect used prosthetic limbs from all over the country. They come in feet. Sometimes we get arms, but we collect it. Why? Well, Gracie's a double amputee, and when she gave up both of her legs, she said, you know what, I'm going to make a difference in my fellow amputees, and she launched this outreach in West Africa where we train and equip local workers to build prosthetic limbs for their own people. And we collect all these used limbs, and then at a local prison here run by Core Civic, the inmates volunteer to disassemble them so we can recycle the knees, the pylons, the feet, the screws even of these things. Now, not everything can be recycled. So we'll make a custom fit socket over there in Africa for each patient, cast them and so forth. But we can use these parts that would just be gathering dust.
Right. And these are very specialized pieces of equipment.
Very expensive pieces
yes.
of equipment. And so we're able to put a $6,000 knee on somebody. I just got in a myoelectric arm, one of those robotic arms that can move just with thought. Kind of thing.
I mean, if you get like two more, can I do a Doc Ock thing?
I'm sure you
want to. All right, right on.
And so over at Core Civic here in Nashville, they've been doing this for years with us where inmates do this. And this is part of their program at Core Civic to help make sure that the guests at their institution, at this prison, do not come back. Their recidivism rate is lower than just about anybody out there.
Well, and probably, you know, this is all speculation, but through a lot of programs just like the one you were just talking about.
Lots of faith-based programs. And Johnny Erickson Tata, our longtime friend Johnny,
Absolutely.
Has a wheelchair shop over there where they will refurbish used wheelchairs.
And these are productive things for these individuals to be able to do.
I had an inmate tell me once, they said, look, I never thought about people with disabilities until I started doing this. Another one said, I've never done anything positive with my hands until I did this. And then I went into the workshop the other day, and they knew Gracie's story. And one of the inmates asked me, looked at me, said, how's your wife doing? And I didn't know this man. It's the first time I met him. He said, how's your wife doing? I said, well, she's struggling right now. And he said, now this is an inmate working on legs there. And he said, he looked up from the workbench and he said, you tell her that we're praying for her over here. And I thought, these guys get it. And this is why Core Civic has been such a great friend to Standing With Hope and what we're doing. If you want to find out more about Core Civic and all the programs they have, go to corecivic.com. And if you want to know about Standing With Hope and how you can get involved in giving the gift that keeps on walking and sponsoring the show, whatever's on your heart to give, go to standingwithhope.com and let's give the gift that keeps on walking. So, listen, we're back here closing up with our time with Kim Campbell. It's been just such a treat. This woman has emerged as a powerful voice of encouragement to her fellow caregivers, particularly those taking care of someone with Alzheimer's. It is a lonely, brutal journey, and she has stepped up in a way that few do and said, you know what, here's our heart, here's what we're dealing with, here's how we're getting through it, here's how I'm leaning on Christ through this thing, here's some things that you can do to get to a place of safety. And I'm just very grateful. Kim, last comments. Somebody just got the call listening to this week. They just got the call. They're just finding out or they're suspecting it. What do you want to say to that person?
Anyone who's been diagnosed with a form of dementia or Alzheimer's, that's the most prominent one, I would say, you know, take heart. You still have a lot of good years to live your life. Surround yourself with your family and your loved ones, and just enjoy every day that you have together and cherish every moment that you have together. And for the caregiver, I say the same thing. You're going to need a support team around you to hold you up. You can't do it alone. And there are people out there who are there to help you. There are all kinds of resources, so you have to educate yourself and connect with other caregivers, because it takes one to know one.
It takes one to help one. So if they want to connect with you, tell me again where they can go to your blog so they can start right now. I mean, today is a great day to start being a healthy caregiver, and you can start by reading Kim's blog at CareLiving.
CareLiving.org, and you can email us at info@careliving.org.
Isolation cripples caregivers. Kim is putting it out there. Are you going to take advantage of it? You just got the phone call. It's terrifying. She talked about her own fear. It's overwhelming, and yet there are resources out there. Don't let that isolation cripple you. Kim's there doing what she can to put it out there, but you've got to pick up the phone, you've got to go to the computer, you've got to log in, and you've got to say, hey, I need some help. Don't white-knuckle this thing by yourself. That's one of the landmines in my new book, is that we try to think it's all up to us. But Kim said beautifully, it's not up to us. This is bigger than us. Kim, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I am just grateful, and thanks for the journey. And Kim Campbell, careliving.org. And listen, I know this is brutal. I know this is painful. But that's why we do this show, so that you don't have to go through this alone. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers, and today's a great day to start being a healthy caregiver. We'll see you next time. This is Peter Roseberger. Glad you're with us. Go to standingwithhope.com for more.